It's Lake Effect from WUWM. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the U.S. has over 1 million total cases of COVID-19. In Wisconsin, the cumulative number of cases is over 8,500. A global pandemic and numbers like these can be a little hard to grasp, until coronavirus affects you or someone you know directly. For us here at WUWM, our former staff member Danielle Nelson was that someone. Danielle is a healthy 37-year-old woman with no pre-existing conditions who was seemingly at a low risk for contracting coronavirus. However, what started as chest pains she initially dismissed escalated to getting hospitalized with COVID-19. She joins me now to share her story in the hope that others can connect with it and learn from her experience. Danielle begins by explaining when she initially started feeling unwell.
Yeah, so I started having chest pain around probably March 12th or 13th. And I didn't really think too much of it because these are crazy times we're living in. And I thought it was just anxiety. And so I kind of shrugged it off. But then on March 16th, I started feeling a little off in the morning. And then by the evening, I had a kind of a full-on fever. And so I pretty much did not leave my bed for the next several days until the afternoon of March 19th, when I ended up going to the ER to get tested. It was a really brief visit. They gave me a prescription for albuterol to help with breathing, which at the time I didn't need. So I went home, went immediately back to bed, and then, you know, really kind of took a turn for the worse. And so it got to the point where, you know, it was really hard to walk. I was resisting the urge to crawl, you know, to get around the house. So in the later afternoon of March 24th, I ended up going back to the ER and then was there until the 29th and then was back home and have been recovering from home since March 29th.
So before you went to the ER that first time to get tested, were you on the phone with a doctor and the recommendation was to go and get tested? Was it a difficult thing to get testing? Because that is kind of an inconsistent thing right now throughout the country is testing availability.
Yeah, I think maybe for the area, I was maybe ahead of the curve. So, you know, there was no wait in the emergency room. I was in and out in 15 minutes and I didn't call anyone ahead of time. I just had a feeling and my fever was kind of all over the place while I was in bed from, you know, it'd be 99 and then it spiked at 104. So I knew that I just really was not well and I shouldn't have a fever for that many days in a row. So I just went to the ER.
Right. And you are, you know, a young, healthy person, no pre-existing conditions, no history of smoking, nothing like that. It was unexpected, right?
Completely. Yeah. I mean, when I look at the list of, you know, folks or conditions that might put me more at risk, I don't meet any of them. And so it was another reason I kind of looked past the chest pain initially, just because I thought, you know, I shouldn't really be at risk, you know, so maybe I could worry a little bit less, but that was obviously my mistake.
Well, and there's a lot of information being bombarded at us. So by the time you're admitted into the hospital, and this was before any tests came back positive or negative, correct?
Right.
So what was your experience like to be a COVID patient inside the hospital?
Being in the hospital with COVID was really scary and really isolating because, as you probably know, no one's allowed into the hospital. And so I was there by myself. And, you know, I've been messaging with someone on Facebook who is in the hospital now with COVID in a different part of the country. And she kind of compared it to being a zoo animal. and when I read that, I choked up because that was really my experience as well. You know, understandably, doctors and nurses are afraid, and I felt that very much so. And just having that limited contact was really scary when you're, you know, spending so much time alone with your thoughts.
So no visitors outside of medical staff coming in to check on you. You're isolated. Medical staff are covered head to toe in PPE. You know, were there certain things they tried to do to help you feel more comfortable and less intimidated? Or is everyone just as overwhelmed by everything?
Well, I think, again, I think because I was, it seems like I was there kind of on the front end of people getting COVID here. There was a lot still being sorted out. And I think folks hadn't quite adjusted to the new normal. And so everyone was so nice to me, of course, and very professional. But, you know, just being another human being, I can pick up on people's anxiety. And it's scary and hard to be the diseased one that everyone's afraid of when I'm afraid of myself as well.
Yeah. So how were you feeling, you know, levels of pain and stress physically feeling during the days you're at the hospital? I understand you didn't need a ventilator. You were having some difficulties coughing and those kind of symptoms, but you didn't need to be intubated, fortunately.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really grateful for that. I did receive oxygen and, you know, I think the thing I'm learning about COVID is that there's really a lot of ups and downs. And that was true for me in the hospital as well. I'd have, you know, times where I just, you know, I couldn't even make it to the bathroom by myself without calling someone in to help me. And I really wasn't able to eat. And, you know, and then, you know, of course, being in a hospital, it's hard to sleep anyway, but, you know, having difficulties sleeping. But then, of course, there were moments that were a little bit easier. And certainly, you know, by the end, I felt like, you know, I was ready to go home, even though I wasn't even sure I was ready to go home. I was scared to go home. And even now being at home, there's good days and bad days still.
Were there any misconceptions about the disease that you had that made you maybe waiting for certain things to happen to you or feel while you were in the hospital because you heard of other people going through it and it was kind of in those initial stages?
Yeah, well, because, you know, it started out just as some chest pain, and then it was kind of just a fever, and then it was a sore throat. You know, I kept worrying that it was going to get worse and worse and that I would end up on a ventilator. And so, because so many people do, and you hear about the shortages of ventilators. And so I'm really just so grateful that I ended up not having to get to that point, but definitely those thoughts were the ones that were keeping me up at night.
Yeah. And in your first Facebook post that you shared, sharing your story and that you were positive, you wrote about a moment that you prepared to say your goodbyes to your fiance and your mom. And I mean, I can't imagine that, but how was it to feel the need to do that, to feel like this might be the lowest point, this might be the end in a life that people assume has so much more to go?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's hard to go back to that moment because, I just love life and I feel like there's so much more that I want to do. And I think reflecting back now, it gives me a lot more empathy for other people who are in those moments, because it's sad and it's scary, especially being there alone and not being able to really touch anyone and touch the people I love and tell them in person that I love them. You know, I kept getting worse and I kept thinking this, I can only get worse for so long. And I was, you know, hooked up to heart monitors. And when I went into the hospital, I was really dehydrated and had super low blood pressure. And so it's not that I wasn't hopeful that I would get better, but my body wasn't getting better and it was causing me to worry.
Did you have that same amount of worry when you first had to go back to the ER to be admitted? Did you think this could be the last time I see this person?
No, I didn't at that moment because honestly, I was so out of it. You know, I couldn't even get myself out of the car. I was put into a wheelchair and then it's almost like I hardly remember even that that first night in the hospital. So I was so out of it. I wasn't even really thinking about anything. I was mostly sleeping.
In the moments when you were awake and thinking and concerned and noticing how your body was feeling, in what ways did you try to cope with the pain? Did you find activities or thoughts or things that kind of helped you?
So I had a meditation app that I used, and that helped a little bit just to really help me focus on breathing and not panicking. I completely stopped listening to the news and went off social media and really tried to not look at anything about COVID-19, just because there's so much bad news and it would just cause more anxiety. And then I watched the movie Julie and Julia about 4 or 5 times when I was in the hospital, because I was hoping it would spark a desire to eat, because that was a big issue, is I just did not have an appetite and I only wanted to eat sugary things. And, you know, it didn't work, but it's a great movie. And now I know all the lines.
Yeah, it'll be a movie forever changed for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you able to FaceTime with your family, friends? Did you have the energy to?
No, and I did a little bit. But again, I was so out of it, you know, most of the time, and, you know, just kind of dealing with my own demons, it was hard. And I know that, you know, I wasn't looking very good. And, you know, just in that I looked really sick and weak, and, you know, I didn't want to scare my friends and family any more than they already were. So I, you know, mostly texting.
So what was the turning point where the doctors were telling you, like, okay, it looks like you can be discharged pretty soon?
Yeah. So, I got several chest x-rays when I was there because of course I had the pneumonia in my lungs, and, the last morning, they did a final chest x-ray, and it wasn't 100%, but it was well enough where they thought, you know, maybe I'm over the hump. And so they sent me home with some breathing exercises and, you know, with not necessarily medication besides some cough medicine, but, you know, just the doctor's orders to take it easy and stay hydrated.
So you've been out of the hospital and are now technically cleared of that isolation period post-hospital. You know, you can leave your home, but how has your body felt since being released?
So just now I'm starting to feel a little bit back to normal, you know, in my body. I'm still tired. I still take a nap every day, which I had never done before. And now it kind of there's a still lingering feeling in my chest. And I kind of compare it to like going to a bonfire and maybe inhaling too much smoke and feeling it the next day, that kind of crackly, achy feeling in your chest. That's kind of how it feels. And some days are better than others.
So what concerns you the most being a survivor of COVID-19, but not really having any concrete answers?
I'm terrified of infecting someone else. You know, the thing that has been the most frustrating about having COVID is just how nobody knows anything. And people you expect to have the answers, like doctors, like health, public health officials, there's so much that they don't know. And so, you know, I've been cleared. They say that I'm not contagious, but now that I have a little bit of doubt in my mind, and I'm, you know, just mentally a little bit anxious about that risk, because of course the last thing I want to do is hurt anyone.
Why did you decide to share your story first initially online through your Facebook and now with us?
Yeah, well, so I wrote this Facebook post, and originally, you know, I had just written it to friends, and then, you know, my mom asked if she could share it on her Facebook page. So, you know, you do what your mom wants. So I made it public, and all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of blew up, and I think it's been shared like over 30,000 times now. And it's kind of shocking. But when I wrote it, you know, I had just gotten home, and, or, you know, that week, and I still was feeling so horrible. I was sleeping most of the day, and I felt so lonely. And, you know, I didn't really know anyone else who had the same kind of symptoms or who had had it quite as bad as I had gotten it or who had been in the hospital. And so, you know, I think thinking about it now, I wanted to tell all my friends that this happened to me. But also I wanted to share my story because I wanted others to know that they weren't alone, that there was someone out there who had had, you know, a similar experience. And I kind of wanted to put myself out there. And that actually since has really helped, I think, in my recovery, helped me feel less alone, less isolated, which is, you know, why I made a website so that people could kind of gather there. And I've spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks responding to messages through Messenger, through the blog, just with people who are in the hospital, who are at home recovering and just feeling scared. And I feel scared too.
Have they been asking you any common questions that, you know, we haven't already touched upon in our conversation? Because I'm, like you said, there's so much unknown. And even as you are recovering and released, you don't know if you're immune. You don't know what life is going to look like going forward necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people ask about the medications I received in the hospital. People are asking about, in general, how I'm doing. I think it helps people to know that there are people who get COVID who go to the hospital and recover and survive. And so, you know, people just generally checking in on me. And then, you know, just kind of getting a sense of my timeline and when they can expect to feel better. And from my own kind of messaging with people, a lot of folks are saying, you know, it's about taking them about 7 weeks to really feel like themselves again. And I'm not there yet, but I plan to have a little party by myself here in my house when that moment comes.
Well, and your story is helping others, but I think what you've seen, what a lot of people are seeing, is that it affects everyone differently. How important is that point to hit home, that this is your version, you know, of COVID? It might not be exactly the same.
Oh, for sure. I mean, everybody's different, but there are some things that there seem to be trends in my little corner of the world with the folks I've talked with, and, you know, small things like not being able to taste anything, to just kind of a shared understanding of this kind of ongoing feeling in your chest several weeks later, and just kind of the lingering anxiety that, you know, nobody wants to hurt anybody, and just having so many people be so afraid of us and whether we're contagious or not.
Yeah. How are you trying to take care of yourself now and post recovery?
Yeah, everyone tells me I need to keep drinking water. So I'm trying to do that and stay hydrated. I'm a little bit tired of hearing that, actually. and, you know, I like to walk my dogs around the block, you know, just that kind of basic recentering stuff that I think can help everyone. But, you know, so many people have reached out to me with such kind things to say and kind of hopes for my recovery. And that has helped me. And, you know, I had someone, kind of an acquaintance friend from my alma mater, McAllister College, reach out to me, and who's an art therapist. And so I've been doing some art therapy sessions over video, and that has been really helpful just to kind of regroup after just feeling like I'm on another planet for the last 6 weeks or whatever.
So what's your call to action for everyone listening now and moving forward as many places across the U.S. and around the world continue with extensions for safer at home orders?
I've thought a lot about this, and, you know, this is why I called my website Better by Each Other, because I think this whole situation with COVID has made me realize how connected we are and how much we can impact each other. And how we can just do a little bit better by each other. And so maybe that's, you know, wearing a mask, even though it's uncomfortable and it's not perfect. Or maybe that's, you know, wearing gloves or not going to the grocery store today and just eating that macaroni that you have in your pantry instead. Those little things, they have a ripple effect. And I think the more we can do better by each other, the better off we're going to be during this pandemic and the stronger communities we're going to have.
Since you've been home and having this experience, do you think that people aren't taking it as seriously as it should be warranted? Because they maybe don't have the connection, they don't know someone who's had it, and all they're seeing is the news of the worst of it in New York or other things, and it's numbers, it's not connection.
Yeah, I think with anything, hearing personal stories helps people understand things in a new way, which, you know, from that Facebook post that I had, I've been contacted by a lot of different news organizations to do an interview, and I haven't really wanted to, just because I don't necessarily want to be the face of COVID in Wisconsin. But, you know, I chose to do this one because I'm a public radio nerd, and also because I think it is important for people to hear that someone actually has experienced COVID right down the street from them in Stallus. And I think, you know, that stories are what connect people to each other and I think make it more real for people. And, you know, a little bit, I'm hoping that's what my kind of opening up about my experience will do.
You mentioned Better by Each Other, which is the name of your website and how people have been reaching you. So with that regard, going through these messages you're receiving, how far do they extend? And what have been some of the most impactful or memorable things that have stuck out to you?
You know, the thing that amazes me is how this Facebook post and the website are just getting out to people kind of all over the world. And it's kind of amazing how we're having, in some ways, this very shared experience. And while, you know, everybody's different, there are some similar kind of trends in the people who are messaging me about their recovery, about their fears, about their anxieties. So I've been trying to kind of take what I hear and put these in blog posts just as a way for people who are recovering from home or who are in the hospital can just go there and know that other people have had some of their experiences and to know that they're not alone in this crazy experience that they're having.
Well, Danielle Nelson, I'm sure all these people in Tenfold are very grateful for you sharing your experience and continuing to help others through it, recovery and beyond. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It means a lot.
Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's reached out to me and has really helped with my recovery as well.
Danielle Nelson is a COVID-19 survivor who lives in West Allis. You can find a link to her website, Better by Each Other, at WUWM.com. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.